All right, let's stand together, greet one another, and make sure everybody gets a handshake and a smile, okay?
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt appear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Are you doing that this morning? Are you standing on the promises of God? God makes promises to us. Let's continue worshiping by singing, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Thank you. Christ alone.
shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Oh, that's to stand before the throne. Oh, that's to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Aren't you glad that we can trust Him in the storm? No matter what goes on in your life, you can trust the Lord. Let's continue worshiping this morning. 10,000 reasons for my soul to sing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never. Your holy name. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever. His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before.
I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Amen.
Kent, great job. Thank you so much. And praise team and praise band, thank you all. Don't you appreciate our praise team and praise band? Today's message is the year in review. You know, at the end of the year, there's always a review of the highlights of the year. We've already started seeing that on television. You know, where they review the highlights of politics and sports and finances and deaths of high profile people. Now, I saw just a day or two ago a new one, and that is the top 10 scandals of 2019. I'm thinking, man alive, how would you narrow that down to 10, you know? Unbelievable. Well, a couple weeks ago, I got a new pair of glasses. Not a happy deal, I'll just tell you that right now. I had gone for about 15 years with LASIK surgery, and man, that worked great for about 13 years. And then it got to the place where I needed some to go back to glasses, so I did that a couple weeks ago. And I, in the last 2 weeks, I've had two brand new pair of glasses just because I'm trying to get used to them again. Now, sight has to do with what we can see. But vision has to do with what we can be. Now, let me say that again. Sight has to do with what we can see. But vision has to do with what we can be. And so as we look at the year in review and as we look to the future, what year's coming up? Wow. So next Sunday's sermon is called a 2020 vision.
Did you get that little play? Yeah, okay.
You'll find it interesting. You'll find it interesting where it's coming from also in the Scripture. So Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, people perish. And so today as we look at the year in review and as we anticipate 2020, we want to function on the basis of vision and not just sight. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, I heard about an old little Baptist church that about every Sunday they had about 50 people there, and it hadn't changed in years. And one Sunday, an old man rode up to the front door of the church on his Harley motorcycle, and Man, this guy was a scuffy looking dude. He had long gray hair and an unkempt beard, and had on his old overalls and his old faded jeans and boots that were worn out. And he walked in and looked around, and he sat down in a pew about middle way. And as he did, and people started looking at him, those that were seated pretty close to him sort of moved out and moved to the other side of the aisle. And man, he didn't feel welcomed at all, because basically he wasn't. At the end of the sermon, and when everything was over, the preacher greeted him and then sort of leaned in and said, "Sir, if you plan on coming back here to this church, I would encourage you to pray and ask God what the dress code might be here." The guy didn't say anything. He just shook his head at him. And he walked out the door, and sure enough, next Sunday, the dude drove up in his on his Harley. Had on basically the very, very same clothes. Long hair, unkempt beard, faded blue jeans, worn out boots. He walked in, the preacher met him at the door and said, "Sir, let me ask you, did you pray and ask God about the dress code?" The guy looked at him and said, "Yeah. Yeah, I did ask God about the dress code." And the preacher said, "And what did God say?" He said, "Well, God said he didn't really know what the dress code was at this church, because he never had been here." Well, God's here. And I'm so glad. And I'll be honest with you, I've been in some churches where I've wondered. But I've been excited about what God's been doing here at First Baptist Church. So thanks for letting me have just a small part in participating with you in that. Look at Acts. We don't have a PowerPoint today. You do have a listening sheet, and I would encourage you to jot down some things that I'm going to share with you. And I don't know that I'm really going to do any preaching. I just want to do a more casual sharing with you over the next few minutes. I might slip off the wagon and preach a little bit, but I just want to basically do some talking and sharing with you over the next few minutes as we look at these three things. And look at Acts chapter 14, and this is at the end of the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas, and he started out as Saul and Barnabas on that trip. But look at these last two or three verses of chapter 14, Acts chapter 14. "And from there they sailed to Antioch, from where they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." Now, I like that, because I want to say to you that you've fulfilled some work this year. That's been good to watch and good to see God do what He's done through you. Now look at verse 27, "And when they were come to Antioch and had gathered the church together," so that's sort of what we've done this morning, like we do every Sunday. We've gathered the church together, and look at this, "they rehearsed all that God had done." Say that with me. They rehearsed all that God had done. So who is it that's done the work? God's done the work. And so we're going to share some things this morning over the next few minutes, and we'll rehearse all that God has done, or a lot of what God has done. But keep in mind, it's God that's done it, and you've allowed Him to do it, and you're allowing Him to do it. And that's exciting, to just watch God at work. And so they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And there they stayed a long time with the disciples. All right, so Paul and Barnabas at the end of the first missionary journey. So let me just talk through these things with you. We're going to talk about praises and then prophecies and then planning. And so you can just find a place to jot down some things. We'll try to give you enough time to write these 10 things of prophecies down, since we don't have them on PowerPoint. So first of all, let me just spotlight some things of praises, some things at First Baptist Church that we should be pleased with, that we should be delighted in, that we should rejoice about, and we can pat ourselves on the back and be humbly grateful to God. And I understand when I say pat ourselves on the back, I understand that God's done it. So I'm not by any stretch of the imagination trying to take anything away from what God's done. But God uses people. He uses people like you and me. And God does it, but he needs instruments in His hands so many times to get things done. So let me just give you about, I don't know how many categories I've got, and you don't have much space there on your paper. You might want to look at the back of it. But let me just give you about 9 or 10 categories, and you can just jot these categories down. I'm just talking about praises of what I've observed in 2019. So first of all, attendance. Your attendance has been very stable. And a lot of times in an interim period, it's not. And so, again, I want to applaud you for that. Your attendance at First Baptist Church in worship, it's been somewhere between 210, 240 people. That's pretty stable. And that's pretty good. And I don't know how long we've been in this one service now, but a long time. And I've said this to you before, thank you for your the way that you've sacrificed for that. If you used to go, how many of you remember that you actually used to go to an early service and had a later service? Yeah, Yeah. I mean, at my age, I don't remember things, what I had yesterday. But yeah, you used to do that. But I'm telling you, this one service has been good. And thank you. All of you have sacrificed with that. So thank you for that. Those that used to come to the early service, you've sacrificed. Those that used to be at the second service, you've sacrificed. But this has been good. Whether you'll admit it or not, it's been good. And so thanks for doing that. And your attendance has been stable. Your Sunday school attendance, that's somewhere between 190 and 200 people. That's good. That's good. And if you're not in Sunday school, get with it. Get up, get the bed off your back, and get to Sunday school. And we've got good classes, all spread out in all kinds of different age categories, and so just plan on doing that. If you're not in, matter of fact, they'd be a great. I'm not into New Year's resolutions, but I would be at this point. Why don't you make a New Year's resolution? I'm going to start Sunday school next week. This is okay. It'd be good for you. And we've got some good Bible teachers. So let me encourage you to do that. All right, here's another category. Baptisms. Baptisms. We baptized 14 people in 2019. Now, that may not sound like a whole lot to you, but again, in an interim period, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, don't get settled in with saying, oh, wow, that's great. No, it's not great, but it's good. It's good. And I would encourage you to set a goal next year to baptize a minimum of twice that. And just watch God work. And some of these have been adults, not all children. And I mean, not that that's wrong if they were all children, but it's just been good. And so we're thankful to God for that. Another category is impacting Mountain Grove. Impacting Mountain Grove. I'm telling you, folks, work at this. Now, this, depending on how your arthritis is, do your very best to go back here and pat yourself on the back. Come on, give it a shot. Give it a shot. Listen, impacting Mountain Grove has been amazing. Say the word amazing with me. Amazing. Do you know that in this past year, you have knocked on 1,500 homes 4 times? 4 times. You've been to 1,500 homes, every house in this community, and you've done that 4 times. There's been 80 to 100 of our people. Now, figure that out, too. That's about half of your Sunday morning attendance. And about half of that has gone out into the community and knocked on the doors of this community, and you've attempted to love out loud, and you've done a great job of that. Give God praise. Come on. Give God praise. I tell you, that is a tremendous thing. And so don't sell yourself short on that, and don't stop thanking God for that. You have done what the terminology is. You have impacted Mountain Grove. Here's another category, finances. Finances. Our general fund is stable. It's not where it needs to be, but it's stable. And a year ago, it really wasn't. But it's stable today. And we've got a good budget for 2020, and I believe it's very reachable. And we're real close to reaching the 2019 budget. Lonnie, I haven't checked with you, but we're awful close to reaching the 2019 budget. Now, if everybody would do what God wants you to do and what you ought to do obediently, which is to tithe, go ahead and say that word, and some of you choke it out. Come on. Tithe. Yeah. Yeah. If you do what God wants you to do, you'll get blessed. And let me tell you something. Your budget would overnight either double or possibly triple. Did you hear what I just said? Whoa. If you just do what God wants you to do. So not only would you get blessed, but I'm telling you, your budget would overnight double or possibly triple. That's pretty staggering right there. And we're still in the category of finances. It was early in 2019 that we finalized our new window project, and you gave $22,000 above the general fund to do that. And we finalized that in early 2019. Plus, in 2019, we've done a variety of building repairs, and including the fellowship hall floor, and got one or two new kitchen items and a new fridge, and all that was $17,000. Now, some of that came out of the budget, but $17,000 additional dollars. You've done strong mission giving this past year with Annie Armstrong missions and the Lottie Moon mission that we anticipate reaching this year. And last year, I think we reached it or right at it. The Reuben South Missouri missions, World Hunger, Feed My Sheep, and radio broadcasting that was not coming out of the budget, but you gave extra with that. And so much of this has been above. I've calculated, impacting Mountain Grove itself took over $12,000, and none of that came out of the budget. I've calculated about $50,000 extra dollars that you've given. God's good, isn't he? Yeah, yeah. Another category, the sound booth. The sound booth has been relocated from up there, and so we're working on getting the balcony finished up, and the sound booth's down here, and I know we set aside some money from the budget for that, but I think people gave to that and didn't even come out of the budget. But let me tell you the real blessing of that sound booth.
I haven't heard anybody whining and complaining. I thought about that the other day. I walked outside just to double check and make sure this was a Baptist church. And yeah, the sign was out there.
Thank you for that. Thanks. I mean, this is good. This is a good deal. Amen. And nobody's really gotten their nose bent out of joint over that. Or if you did, you
kept it at home. So thanks for doing that.
That's good. Another category, the wild game dinner. Did a wild game dinner this year. Jim Posey and Chase White coordinated that. I think they're what, eight? Weren't the eight saved at that? Either five or eight. 17 total decisions, yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's great. And hundreds of men that came to that. That was wonderful. Another category, ministries. Ministries. I'm going to name lots of them, and I know I'm missing some, but I'm telling you, you've got a lot of good ministries going on here. They impact people. They affect people in a positive way with the gospel. And so VBS was another good success. So Judy and Amy again, and they had an army of people helping them as they always do. And wow, that was great. You started a security team this year. I appreciate Mike and those that are helping with him. And you started that this year. Singles. Our singles ministry, unless you just read about it in the bulletin, which you do, lots of us aren't even aware that it's going on, but it's a good, effective ministry. And I appreciate Carrie coordinating that, and this is just that's a good thing. Feed My Sheep, you did a great job with that again this year, and Kim and Operation Christmas Child, and we went over our goal for this year with that. And man, that these are good ministry areas. Our youth, wow, Jim Posey had done a good job with that. And I'll tell you what, we didn't even miss a lick with that. Chase and Sheena stepped in, and they're doing a wonderful job. And adults, parents stepping up to help them with that. And that's doing great. And we're thankful for the fact that we didn't even hiccup with that. And so we're just grateful for what God's doing there. And I tell you what, I cannot say enough about Kathy and our children's ministry. She got an army of people working with her, which we need two armies, to be honest with you. She does have an army of people helping her. But there's always, say that word with me, a need for you to step up and help with our children's ministry. And it is going great. Just the various categories of that. And I just can't say enough about all who are helping with that. But would you please make that a matter of prayer? We always need more help in our children's area. And our bus ministry, Ron and Kathy and Norm and Cindy, man, we appreciate them. The word always comes to mind on that one. We always need help with that. Norm, is that correct? Norm's this bushy, ugly guy sitting over here. Obviously, Cindy doesn't mind going through the brush to get to a picnic. Yeah. Hey, this bus ministry is great. Okay, so here's a challenge right here. 12 of you. If 12 of you would corner Norm and say, okay, put my name down, but not every week. That's why I'm saying 12. And he can figure it out on how the rotation would work. Just to be an assistant on the bus. Okay, so 12 of you. And probably that means about every 12 weeks you could be an assistant. That's not terrible. What do you think about that? 12 of you. Now, if you've already got 12 jobs, then don't get 13. And some of you do have. But some of you ain't got any. That's poor English. But it's pretty good preaching. Some of you just flat out ain't doing much. And it wouldn't hurt you to be an assistant on our bus ministry. Okay? Man, our Wednesday night ministry, lots of stuff going on Wednesday night. Just unbelievable. Good stuff. And choir, Nancy, thank you so much. Don't you appreciate her? Yeah. Your choir always sounds good. Thank you so much for that. And I think the robes are ugly. That's not the first time she's heard me say that. But the choir does great. They just do a great job. And I appreciate that. And the orchestra, man, you heard the orchestra last week and the instrumentalist every week. There is so much musical talent in this church. Kent, thanks for helping and coordinate all of that, and I've already talked about our praise team. Wow. And our deacons, we have 16 of the most dedicated deacons that I've ever worked with. I appreciate each and every one of them. And do you realize that a year ago, just a little over a year ago, we began a deacon care ministry. Many of you have benefited from that. But let me just point out that in the last year, our deacons have been in over 80 homes within our ministry fellowship to minister. Wow. That is tremendous. These are servant leaders, and they demonstrate that. And I appreciate them so very much. And our senior adult ministry, that just operates very smoothly on their own. Man, that's great. And Sandra, you do a wonderful job with our women on mission. And I think there's, about 18 of you that get together twice a week, twice a month with that ministry. And so, I know I've left out some ministries, but wow, this is so great, these ministries that we have that work so effectively. You need to be involved in them. And some of you need to be in leadership in these areas. And we're still under praises here. Pastor Search Committee, I've worked with several Pastor Search Committees. I honestly don't think I've worked with a Pastor Search Committee that is any more spiritual, meaning they genuinely want to hear from God. Bottom line, they just want to hear from God. Well, that's good. Don't slack up praying for them. Don't slack up praying for them. I thought I'd be fired by now, to be honest with you. So, nobody's praying harder for them than I am. And so just don't slack up praying for them. But I am saying to you, these six people that you've elected, they just want to hear from God. They want God's man here. And then finally, the spirit of this church is good. The spirit of this church is good. And I've been in churches where the spirit wasn't good. Well, I'll be honest with you. When I walked into First Baptist Church, Mountain Grove, the spirit wasn't good. I'll just tell you that. That shouldn't come as a shock to anybody. But the spirit of this church is good. And let's keep it that way. And you do that by staying focused on Jesus Christ. I want to stay focused on Jesus. Let's say that together. I want to stay focused on Jesus. Now, if I come back a year from now and your new pastor's here, I still want to hear you saying, I want to stay focused on Jesus. Day in and day out, week in and week out, no matter who's standing behind this pulpit, I want to stay focused on Jesus. Well, they had rehearsed all that God had done. So those are praises. Those are praises. And I'm telling you, God's good, isn't he? And I know that there are lots of other things we could have shared, but I've given you a pretty good overview of 2019. All right, now let me go to point B, and it's prophecies. And I'll just tell you, these are the top 10 Bible prophecy signs of 2019, and I got them from Jan Markell. I don't know if you listen to her, but this lady she's a Christian journalist specializing in cultural analyses and biblical prophecy review. She's just pretty amazing. And I listen to her frequently, and she just stays up to date. And boy, it's hard to do in this day and age because it's happening not just periodically and not just daily, but multiple times daily, soon return of Christ is unfolding with breakneck speed. And so I just got these from her. I could do a sermon on each one of them. I'm just going to give them to you here. So write them down. These are the top 10 Bible prophecy signs of 2019. So here they are. Number one. The spirit of the Antichrist has been poured out around the world. I'll give you time to write that down in that line. The spirit of the Antichrist has been poured out around the world. In multiple countries, including the United States, we see anarchy, lawlessness, rage, and violence. And when I give you these 10 things, I hope it heightens your alertness to what's going on in the world daily. So number one, the spirit of the Antichrist has been poured out literally around the world. Here's number two. The rise of Romans 1 behavior and acceptance. Now, there's more to this, which I'm going to give you, but write that down. The rise of Romans 1 behavior and acceptance, comma, the explosion of strong delusion. The explosion of strong delusion, comma, and the increase in the hatred of God, period. Okay, let me give that to you again. The rise of Romans 1 behavior and acceptance, comma, the explosion of strong delusion, comma, and the increase in the hatred of God. We are seeing right before our eyes God giving people over to a reprobate mind. And that word reprobate, and you'll read that in Romans 1. Among other things, so read all of Romans 1. And it's, we're seeing the rise of a Romans 1 behavior and acceptance. It's one thing to have a rise in the behavior. It's another thing to, for it to be accepted. And it's being accepted. And we're seeing that right before our very eyes. And you'll see in Romans 1 where God gives us over to a reprobate. And that word reprobate means void of judgment. Void of judgment. I don't know how many times I've stood in front of the television and said, "What an idiot. How stupid is this?" Well, it's they're being like idiots because they've got a mind void of judgment. And how stupid is it? Well, they're giving in to strong delusion. Strong delusion. Irrational delusion. And you're seeing that in sexual perversion and socialism and Marxism. Irrational delusion. All right, here's number three. A rise in a new world religion. A rise in a new world religion. Now, in the last few years, I've thought, you know, that's probably going to be Islam. Well, I'm not sure I think that now. I think it's going to be more philosophical. More philosophical. That might look like, it might look like climate change. That's almost becoming religious. It might be sexual perversion. It's almost becoming religious. Humanitarianism. Jay, are you down on humanitarianism? No, not unless it becomes your God. Tolerance. Wow, that's a buzzword. Tolerance. You know something I've discovered about those that are clamoring for tolerance? They're intolerant if you're not tolerant. They're the most intolerant people I've met. Free thinking, on and on. I think it might be more philosophical. But nonetheless, a rise in a new world religion. Here's number four. A stunning rise in wickedness. Wickedness. A stunning rise in wickedness. Evil is out of control, folks. Out of control. Write this down. It's the name of a book that you can get on Amazon, or you can probably just walk into Walmart to get it. It's called The Children's Book of Demons.
You probably, did you hear what I said? You probably can just walk into Walmart and get it. Voodoo dolls, witches, those were top selling at Christmas time. Killing, killing, killing. What a lack of appreciation for life that we have now. A stunning rise in wickedness. Here's number five. Number five, mocking and scoffing of the truth at new levels. Mocking and scoffing of the truth at new levels. I've been mocked for 50 years, but nothing like in the last 2 or 3 years. And people scoffing at what I say. Now that stuff bothers me until I just can't get to sleep at night until just after dark. Because I'm telling you, I intend to preach the truth as long as I've got breath. But the secular left mocks Christianity vehemently. And it's becoming even more so. And there are new and new laws being passed to undermine Christianity. And not just the hate crime laws, which have now been in effect for just a few years. It will not be long until preachers like myself will be standing behind a pulpit at great risk of being imprisoned for speaking the truth from God's Word. So you need to be praying for your new pastor diligently. There's a rabid hatred for God and Christianity. Here's number six. Christians and Jews are on the run. Christians and Jews are on the run. There's a heavy growing number of Christians being martyred. Just this past week in Nigeria. Now you're seeing it more and more in Nigeria, but also in Kenya. Interestingly, the day after I confirmed with a friend of mine for another Kenyan trip in April of 2020, I intend to go back to Kenya, the Lord willing. And the day after I confirmed that, I saw the headlines of where 11 people had been slaughtered. 11 Christians had been slaughtered in Kenya because they would not denounce Christ and embrace Islam in Kenya. So begin praying for me also, because the Lord willing, I intend to go back to Kenya. I've been there 4 times, and I intend to take another trip in April of 2020. And anti-Semitism is becoming more and more acceptable. Just 2 days ago, a multiple number of anti-Semitic attacks took place in New York City. And it's becoming more and more. Number seven, I'm giving you prophecies of the top 10 Bible prophecy signs. They're more generic signs of 2019. Number seven, the Middle East, the epicenter, is in a shakeup. The Middle East is the epicenter of the world. And the Middle East is in a shakeup more than it's ever been. The unsettled Israel elections, this is unprecedented for them to have a third election to select their prime minister. The unsettled Israel elections, the growing unrest of Iran. Iran vehemently wants to destroy Israel. The recognition of Vladimir Putin's strength
which is growing, the impending destruction of Damascus. Any day I wake up would not surprise me to see that Damascus is destroyed. Scripture says it will be. The Psalm 83 war, I don't know if I preached that sermon here, and the Gog-Magog war on the horizon. All of these things falling together like the wheels of a gear that are beginning to mesh together. The Middle East is in a shakeup. Number 8, the efforts of the globalists being advanced. The efforts of the globalists being advanced. The UN, the United Nations, has called for a global government to be in place in less than 12 years. They've set the date. They want it to be in place, a global government. We're dealing with globalism versus nationalism. I don't know what you think of Donald Trump, but I will say, no matter what you think of Donald Trump, he is a nationalist and not a globalist, and we should be grateful for that. He is a nationalist and not a globalist. Number 9, the Church of Laodicea has become more predominant. The Church of Laodicea has become more predominant. And you'll have to go to Revelation 2 or 3 to find out exactly about, once again, remind yourself of the Church of Laodicea, because I want you to know it is growing. It is a growing sentiment within so many, many churches where we have lukewarm Christianity. That makes God sick, folks. Lukewarm Christianity. Apostasy has become more predominant. Apostasy, falling away. And number 10, the surveillance of humanity is big business, and privacy is going out the window. The surveillance of humanity is big business, and privacy is going out the window. With all the new technology and all the smart devices, they are setting us up to lose our privacy and consequently our freedoms. Well, I could do a sermon on each of those. These are signs of the times because we are living in the times of the signs. Pretty exciting, actually. Pretty exciting. All right, let me give you letter C. Here it is. These three things. What's planning? Well, we've looked at praises, and we've got a lot to praise God for 2019. We've looked at prophecies, the prophecies of 2019. But let me tell you something. These prophecies I just shared with you, they're going to usher us into 2020. Every one of them. They're going to usher us into 2020. So what should our planning be? Well, I would suggest that we do planning in three different areas: church, family, and personal. So what should our planning be for the church? Let me suggest three or four things. And add to these. You pray about it, and you add to it. It's your church. It's God's church. It's your church. And here's something else. I found out just this past week, actually, several of you are not members here. You act like it. So thank you for that. You look like it. Thank you for that. Doggone, get off your duff and join. I can probably say that even plainer, but I think you understand what I said. Get with it.
attach yourself. So, well, that's too much like commitment. Duh. Maybe I thought I would preach just a little bit here. So what should your church, as you plan for 2020, as you plan for the future? Let me give you three or four things that just put down there. But you pray about it, and you see what other things that you need to add to this. What should your planning be under God's direction? Well, number one, new pastor. New pastor. Just put that down in bold letters and underline it and put an exclamation point behind it. We're ready for God's man. I think you're ready for God's man. And I haven't been able to say that for all the time I've been here. You're ready. You're ready. I go back to the fact you got a good spirit going on here. God's doing good stuff. Okay, so pray for your new pastor. Impacting Mountain Grove. You say, well, I thought we were through with that. No. No, we're just through for 2019. I'm not 100% sure what it should look like for 2020. I think I've got a pretty good idea. I'll be talking to Brenda soon, and then we'll be talking to you soon. And you need to keep impacting Mountain Grove, because Mountain Grove needs the gospel. And we need to love out loud, just like we've been doing. It's going to look differently for 2020, but we need to still impact Mountain Grove. And there needs to be growth and ministry. I've already highlighted lots of ministry. How is your ministry affecting people? You need to be asking God that. How is our ministry affecting people? And how's it bringing about change? And do we need to grow? Yes, we need to grow. Even though I've said to you that your attendance has been stable, hey, listen, there are lost people out there that need to get in here. And there are Christians that need to be in God's house. And some of you, actually, this is not the crowd I need to be talking to. There are some that come to Sunday school and don't come to worship. What's that about? So there needs to be growth numerically and spiritually. And then additional volunteerism, and I've already talked to you about helping with the bus ministry. I've already talked to you about helping with children's ministry. And if you're not doing anything, well, stop it and start doing something. So there needs to be additional ministry. So, church, what should that be? Family, what are your goals for your family? Now, let me just ask you to write down a question at this point as you think about that, as you think about planning for your family going into 2020. What are your goals? But here's my question to you. Do they include the spiritual? A lot of times I'll talk to people and say, what are your goals for your family? And, well, this and this and this and this and this, and doesn't have anything to do with God. So what are your goals, and do your goals for your family include the spiritual? All right, and finally, personal. What are your goals for you as you go into 2020? You may say, well, Jay, I'm old. I hope in 2020, I'd like to stay on this side of the grass. All right. If I should die in 2020, and boy, that's possible, I hope I got Jesus on my lips. So for your personal goals, do your personal goals center around Jesus Christ? Do they center
around Jesus Christ. I hope so. All right, well, that's sort of been half preaching and half talking, so thanks for letting me share all that. The year in review. I love you. This is a good church. God's got good plans for you in the days ahead. Don't miss them. Don't think you're in charge. Let God be in charge. Find out what God wants you to do. We walk by faith, not by sight. Sight has to do with what you can see. Vision has to do with what you can be. You be what God wants you to be. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you have done. We give you praise for that. Thank you, Father, for what's been in the past, and thank you for what you're going to do in 2020. Give us vision, because we want to be what you want us to be for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not a Christian, it's the greatest need of your life, my friend. Greatest need of your life. Don't leave here today. I wouldn't anticipate 2020 without knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior.